It's Thursday, the 31st of July, and it's time again for Northland Views here on Sunsounds of Arizona. Today we have news from the WilliamsNews.com website, news of Williams and the Grand Canyon. Our headlines today: National Park Service seeks assistance in missing person case at Grand Canyon. Senator Gallegos says Forest Service messed up on North Rim fire. And Comet Walk takes tour of historic Grand Canyon boats with Tom Martin. Turning to that first headline, National Park Service seeks assistance in missing person case at Grand Canyon. Missing person, Grand Canyon National Park requests your assistance in locating this person, Thomas Daniel Gibbs. The National Park Service is asking for the public's help in locating Thomas Daniel Gibbs, 35, of Freehold, New Jersey, who was last heard from on July the 22nd, 2025, at approximately 12 p.m. The Gibbs family and friends reported him missing on Monday, July the 28th. His Tesla Cybertruck was found the same day in Grandview Point parking lot on the South Rim. Gibbs is believed to have been in the Grandview Trail and Horseshoe Mesa area on July the 22nd. Physical description follows: age 35, race white, sex male, height 6 foot 1 inch, hair is brown, eyes are brown. Park rangers are asking anyone who is in the Grandview Trail area around July 22nd who may have seen Gibbs or has information on his whereabouts to contact the National Park Service Investigative Services Branch tip line at 888-653-0009. Tips can also be submitted online at www.nps.gov/isb or via email at nps_isb@nps.gov. National Park Service seeks assistance in missing person case at Grand Canyon. Our next article is by Vito Starinchas of the Verde Independent from the 29th of July. Democrat U.S. Senator Ruben Gallego has only been in office for 6 months, but has been tasked with finding solutions to many disasters, both man-made and political. Anybody that's lived in Arizona for quite a while would know and say you shouldn't start a controlled burn in the middle of summer when it's so dry, and also when there's potential winds, Gallego said in a Zoom press conference on July 17th. That's just pure common sense. Gallego was referring to the Dragon Bravo fire near the north rim of Grand Canyon National Park, which destroyed the historic Grand Canyon Lodge and numerous other structures. Gallego appeared on Zoom with local press on July 17th, and the U.S. senator said the Forest Service response didn't work out. They made a dumb mistake, and they need to answer for that. Gallego said the Forest Service, in their communication, stated that this is what happened. If the Forest Service does not believe that's true, they should come forward and be transparent. But at this point, it looks like they messed up and screwed Northern Arizona in the process. The senator said he's already talking to his Western colleagues about how the Forest Service can rebuild in the North Rim area of the Grand Canyon, where the famous Grand Canyon Lodge and at least 70 structures were burned. It is the economic bloodline of that whole area, Gallego said, and he doesn't want it to disappear because they don't rebuild fast enough. But Gallego said the focus right now is to contain the fires. He said there was a lightning fire strike that started the fire, and then the National Park Service decided to use that fire as a control burn. It's not just about trees burning, it's about families being displaced, small businesses losing everything, and tribal communities watching sacred lands go up in smoke. He's in contact with local officials to make sure they have the resources they need to fight these fires. Gallego was on the Senate floor July 17th demanding that the Justice Department release its files related to the investigation of Jeffrey Epstein. Gallego said, "This is an issue the Republicans created, which has now created doubt with the U.S. government." Also on Gallego's list was a Republican's Big Beautiful Bill, which he called one ugly baby. He said the bill is a direct attack on working families, going to shut down rural hospitals and kick millions of people off health care. Gallego said he tried to stop the bill, which had just passed, that's stopping federal funding for national public radio. It will affect the rural and tribal areas the most, where they don't have big corporations and donors like in big cities. They will shut down, he added. The Republican Party basically screwed rural and tribal Arizona again for no reason other than pure politics, Gallego said. When asked by a reporter, what are the Democrats going to do about it, Gallego responded that the problem is you're dealing with a Republican-controlled House, Senate, and White House that does not care about rural and tribal Arizona. The most we can do is make sure we hold them accountable and we don't vote them into office again, Gallego said. And that's Senator Gallego says Forest Service messed up on North Rim Fire. Our next article is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 29th of July. Comet Walk takes tour of historic Grand Canyon boats with Tom Martin. If boats could talk, the Powell Building at Grand Canyon National Park would be filled with an endless treasure trove of captivating stories. Part of the Grand Canyon Museum collection, the historic boat collection, is a jumping-off point for some pretty iconic stories in the history of river running in the Grand Canyon. On July 22nd, Coconino Community College's Community Education Department held an opportunity through its Comet Walks and Talks series for about a dozen registrants to tour the collection for free, guided by Colorado River boating historian Tom Martin. The tour began at the Grand Canyon IMAX Theater in Tucson, where the group listened to Martin talk about an exact replica of the boat John Wesley Powell used on his 1869 expedition, two of which sit outside behind the theater. Inside the park, the tour spent most of the morning in the Powell Building, which holds a number of boats that have traveled on historic treks through the Grand Canyon. Like a kid in a candy store, the enthusiastic and animated Martin spoke tirelessly about the history of running the Colorado River, the legendary stories behind the boats, and the fascinating details of boat building. Martin pointed out advancements and improvements made over the years from early 20th century watercraft to jet boats and modern kayaks. Next to a 1909 boat designed by Julius Stone and Nathaniel Galloway sat the 1911 Edith, a boat used on the 1911-12 trip made by the Kolb brothers, who captured the first motion picture footage of the Green and Colorado River canyons. Also in the collection is the 1938 Wen, built by Norm Nevels and Don Harris for the expedition by Elzada Clover and Lois Jodder, two female scientists who cataloged plant life along the Colorado, an endeavor chronicled in the book Brave the Wild River by Melissa Savigny. Other notable boats in the collection include the 1952 inflatable raft Georgie, two 1960 jet boats designed for up-running the river, the 1962 Dory Music Temple, and 1963 Sport Yak used by Doc Marston. The Comet Walk concluded inside the museum collection building for a peek at a fragment of the 1871 Nellie Powell, a boat used on the second Powell expedition that was mostly burned at Lee's Ferry in 1938. Overall, the tour was a thought-provoking, entertaining glimpse at the history of running the Colorado River, the vessels used, and the characters involved, led by an expert who had clearly done his homework on the intricacies of the subject. According to the park's website, the museum collection is not open to the general public. However, researchers are able to visit by appointment. The park has three public exhibits in Grand Canyon Village that are open daily: Kolb Studio, Faircamp's Visitor Center, and Yavapai Geology Museum. And that's Comet Walk's takes tour of historic Grand Canyon boats with Tom Martin. Our next item, Honey Creek Farm expands with new farm stand store in Williams. This is by Doreen Holche, and it's from the 29th of July. Honey Creek Farm held the grand opening on July 26 for a new farm stand store, drawing a large crowd of community members eager to support the growing local business. Sheila and Rob Crombean have sold homemade products from their farm and beekeeping operation for close to 2 years. The new addition expands their offerings and gives customers a permanent place to shop 6 days a week. The Crombeans welcomed a crowd of friends, neighbors, and first-time visitors to their two-acre property just outside of town. As a thank you to the community, they offered free ice cream sundaes topped with their homemade honey strawberry sauce. The little shop was packed with customers browsing farmhouse-style shelves of farm-fresh eggs, candies, local pollen, honey, baked goods, kombucha, handmade sweets, and even bee-branded hats. I'm just blown away by the amount of support and how many people have showed up for this, considering our limited ability to advertise, Crombean said. I'm so thankful. There's clearly been a lot of word of mouth and people sharing what we're doing. The company's commitment to sustainability and handcrafted goods has earned them a loyal following in the community, and the turnout at the grand opening suggests that Honey Creek Farm is already a local staple. The new farm stand store is located at 1015 Airport Road, Williams. Regular hours are Monday through Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. And that's Honey Creek Farm expands with new farm stand store in Williams. Next, we have a sad item. Barrizona mourns the loss of Arthur, the park's oldest animal. And this is from the 29th of July. Barrizona Wildlife Park is mourning the loss of Arthur the bear. An American black bear who died at age 24, Arthur was the oldest animal at the park, according to the announcement made on the Barrizona Facebook page July the 23rd. Some of Arthur's long-term keepers shared a few words in the post about Arthur, calling him patient and sweet. He was respected and loved by all his staff, guests, and bears alike, said one keeper. That's Barrizona mourns the loss of Arthur, the park's oldest animal. Next, Williams High, Mr. Grossman, recognized for students' post-secondary success. From the 29th of July by Calvin Shoemaker. Williams High School calculus teacher Bob Grossman was recently recognized for the success his former students are having in their college math classes. Mr. Grossman is one of six teachers to be selected to the 2025 Impact Corps by the Arizona State University Helios Decision Center for Educational Excellence. In his third year, the Impact Corps program identifies high school teachers across the state who are directly linked to the success former students are having in college classes. Personnel at the Decision Center use information and data collected in a post-secondary feedback report in order to identify the students and correlate their success with individual teachers from high school. That pool of teachers gets narrowed down through an interview and observation process, according to Dr. Don Foley, an educational consultant at the center who visited Grossman's classroom in April to watch him teach calculus. Mr. Grossman is an amazing teacher, Foley said. It was a pure joy to watch him in his classroom with his students. He'll tell you he's old-fashioned, but he totally commands that classroom and had his students engaging with video clips and active demonstrations to demonstrate the calculations they were doing. It was brilliant. In July, Grossman and the other Impact Corps group members visited the ASU Helios Decision Center to learn more about the center's data tools and resources. The teachers will now share what they learned with their colleagues and students. It's really a unique opportunity because this is not something they can apply for, Foley said. we find them because of how well their students do. In June, Grossman delivered a commencement address to the Williams High School graduating class of 2025, urging them all to be lifelong learners in whatever endeavors they choose. It's wonderful that the students in Williams have access to such a tremendous educator, Foley said. And that's Williams High's Mr. Grossman recognized for students' post-secondary success. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org. Additionally, you can also listen to Sun Sounds on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app, available for your iPad or iPhone from the Apple App Store, or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo. Now we have an article by Jennifer Solis of the Nevada Current reported on the WilliamsNews.com website. This from the 29th of July. Lake Mead water projections raise red flags. States in deadlocked talks. Water at Lake Mead is on course to fall to the lowest level in recorded history by 2027, according to a recent forecast by the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. Water levels in the reservoir have steadily dropped over the years as the Colorado River, the lake's biggest source of water, has been choked by rising temperatures, prolonged drought, and growing demand. If reservoir storage continues on its current trajectory, Lake Mead's water elevation is likely to drop to about 1,038 feet by the end of June 2027, 2 feet lower than when it fell to a record low in July 2022, according to a two-year forecast released by the federal agency July the 15th. That projection is based on the most probable scenario, but federal water managers also considered what the lake would look like if the next 2 years are drier than usual. In the worst-case scenario, Lake Mead's water elevation could fall even further, to about 1,026 feet, 1 foot short of the most severe water shortage level defined by BureauRec, which would trigger record cuts to water use in Arizona and Nevada. Lake Mead is already under a Tier 1 shortage, the least severe level, which mandates a 21,000 acre-feet annual reduction in the state's share of the Colorado River. That shortage level and the reduction in Nevada's water allocation is likely to continue next year under current projections. But steeper water cuts are likely to take place in 2027 under the most probable scenario, according to the study. Federal water managers projected Lake Mead's elevation would likely drop to below 1,050 feet by July 2026, triggering a more severe Tier 2 shortage, which would reduce annual available water for Nevada by another 4,000 acre-feet. Federal water managers decide shortage levels each year in August based on projected water levels at Lake Mead and Lake Powell for the start of the following year. The troubling projections come as the seven states that share the Colorado River's water are in deadlocked negotiations over how the river and its reservoirs should be managed after the current guidelines expire at the end of 2026. The states, Arizona, California, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming, primarily disagree over which of them should have to decrease their water use and by how much. Uncertainty is difficult to plan around. Negotiations have continued behind closed doors for months as water officials try to reach an agreement. The federal government has given the states until mid-November to come up with a draft for a new plan. They can't reach a deal ahead of a 2026 deadline. The federal government can step in and make those decisions itself. The lackluster reservoir forecast follows a winter of below-average snowpack across the upper Colorado River Basin, a major source of snowmelt for Lake Mead and Lake Powell. Climate scientists studying water supply on the Colorado River were not surprised by the latest projections, which reflect a two-decade trend of decreasing stream flow into the river and its reservoirs. I've been warning about this situation since last fall. The worst has come true, said Utah State University professor Jack Schmidt. Without an effort to seriously recover water storage in Lake Mead and Lake Powell in order to withstand dry years, the river could be on the brink of crisis, said Schmidt. Schmidt said reservoir storage across the Colorado River will only gain a fraction of the water collected in previous years due to below-average snowpack and warmer temperatures. This year, snowmelt inflow to Lake Powell is predicted to be about half of average, one of the lowest inflow years in the past two decades. Lake Powell's water levels directly affect Lake Mead because stream flow to Lake Powell is eventually released to Lake Mead. We've got the onset of an extremely dry year and we're on the brink of collapsing the systems, Schmidt said. Two consecutive winters with robust snowpacks in 2023 and 2024 gave states that rely on the Colorado River a few more years of stability, but with a dismal water year approaching, Lake Mead and Lake Powell are on a path to record low elevations. We've done a poor job since then and never significantly recovered storage, Schmidt said. Schmidt emphasized the need for immediate water conservation efforts to reduce water use across all seven states that rely on the river to protect the river and its reservoirs from collapse. The system we have is not good enough, and it's not working, so this is a warning that we need to become far more flexible and far more adaptable, he said. Despite drought challenges, southern Nevada remains one of the most water-secure areas along the Colorado River. Southern Nevada hasn't used its full allocation of Colorado River water for years. Conservation efforts have helped southern Nevada use 36% less water from Lake Mead than it did two decades ago, according to the Southern Nevada Water Authority. The Water Authority also said it's confident southern Nevada can weather even the most severe water shortage, Tier 3, which would require Nevada to give up enough water to supply about 60,000 households for a year. Bronson Mack, the outreach manager for the Southern Nevada Water Authority, said Lake Mead's water levels over the next 2 years will depend significantly on winter snowpack and soil conditions in the upper Colorado River Basin. The potential for historically low lake levels is what catalyzed our community's adaptation toward using less water more efficiently, Max said. Water conservation continues to be critical throughout the Colorado River Basin, and the Bureau of Reclamation's most recent 24-month study further emphasizes that, he continued. Still, the lack of agreement between states on future guidelines has also created a lot of uncertainty for water users, said Catherine Sorensen, the director of research at the Kyle Center for Water Policy at Arizona State University. There's a total unknown still about what happens after the current shortage sharing guidelines expire and what will be the new operating guidelines. There's a lot of uncertainty, and uncertainty is difficult to plan around, Sorensen said. Sorensen said record low water elevations at Lake Mead and Lake Powell are the new normal, adding that water utilities should prepare for a future where the most severe water shortage level is more and more common while communicating risks to customers. This latest 24-month study report is not good news, but it is what many have been warning about. The river is just producing less on average, Sorensen said. That's Lake Mead water projections raise red flags, states in deadlocked talks. In that same vein, we have this headline, Lake Powell water levels to impact launch ramps. This from the 29th of July. Seasonal water level changes at Lake Powell are becoming more pronounced as forecasts from the Bureau of Reclamation Project continue declines through the next several months. Lake level changes will influence functionality of all launch ramps. Lake water elevation is 29 feet lower than this time last year, Hall's Crossing launch ramp is expected to be inoperable as soon as early August. The National Park Service is actively monitoring conditions and will continue to adapt infrastructure such as floating docks, walkways, and ramp extensions where feasible to support continued recreational use throughout the lake. Plan ahead. It is the vessel operator's responsibility to know the minimum water depth required for launching your boat based on the characteristics of your vessel and trailer. Boaters are strongly encouraged to check the operational status of their preferred launch site before launching. For more information on water levels at Lake Powell and impacts to ramps and services, visit nps.gov/glca/learn/changing-lake-levels.htm. This information is provided by the Glen Canyon National Recreation Area for Lake Powell water levels to impact launch ramps. Our last item, Purple Heart flag raising ceremony scheduled for August the 7th. This is by Doreen Holchi from the 29th of July, Williams. Local veterans will honor Purple Heart recipients with a flag-raising ceremony August 7th at Monument Park, highlighting the military decoration's storied history. The event, organized by local American Legion members, will feature Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts participating in a ceremonial flag-raising with the Purple Heart flag to be displayed beneath the American flag. The Purple Heart, first established by General George Washington during the Revolutionary War, originally began as a cloth patch recognizing military merit. In 1932, it was transformed into a metal medal awarded to service members wounded or killed in combat. "We want to recognize those who've sacrificed in service to our country," said local Legion commander Roger Ely. The ceremony will commemorate Williams' 7 known service members killed in action and numerous Purple Heart recipients. The event aims to educate the community about the medal's significance and honor those who've been wounded while defending the nation. Local veterans organizations, including the Legion and additionally the VFW, will participate in the ceremony. Flag raising is scheduled for 11 a.m. and is open to the public. And that's Purple Heart flag raising ceremony scheduled for August the 7th. You've been listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming, including Northland Views, streaming on sunsounds.org, on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app for your iPhone or Android device, or on the Amazon Dot or Echo.